What's up, guys? Max, you're back with a brand new episode of the Scuttlebutt Show. I hope wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you're having a great day. And I hope that you had a great weekend and used some time to honor the anniversary of September 11th. What's up, everybody in the chat? John, Eviana, Harry Lime Pie, and everybody else listening on all the different platforms. Whatever you're up to, check in. Let me know that you're out there. I have an incredible show for you guys today, reviewing the stuff that I've got. A crazy story out of the Navy, an update on something from last week, a video developing out of Afghanistan, a reaction and a review of a brand new veteran TV show, Navy SEAL training is canceled, and a veteran is in a battle that we need to help him out in. So all that and more coming up in today's episode, so stick around. You're going to want to be here for it. I had the best weekend ever. I got to hang out with Scott Husing, Amy Forsyth, Fred Galvin, Robert Young Pelton. If you don't know those names, go back and listen to the Outside the Wire episode from last week. I'll be doing book reviews on all their books soon. It was a fantastic weekend. They had that event in Oceanside, California last night. I was there and it was fantastic. It was great. And they're great people. We met, we hung out, we had dinner, we went to that event, went to the book signing at Barnes & Noble's. I'll probably post some pics onto the gram or something like that. I took some pictures while I was out there. And had just the best, you know, September 11th day of remembrance and honoring that and getting to know some cool vets and talking things out. And it was great. And I was saying this thing. I was walking my dog yesterday. I'm walking my wife and I's dog. And I said this thing that I couldn't stop thinking about after. I said it in my head. I talked to myself in my head. And I said this thing in my brain. My brain box is rattling with words. And I said this thing, and I couldn't stop thinking it, which, you know, pause that idea for a second. There, you know, my last command in the Navy, there was this, I've said this on the show many times. There was a poster on the wall, and it said, today is September 12th, 2001. September 12th, 2001 was a pretty special day, the day after the attacks on the Twin Towers, where the entire nation came together and said, we're unified, we're together, we feel you out there in New York, we mourn for you, and we will not let whoever did this get away with it. And September 12, 2001 was a day where, and this is the thing that came into my brain and I couldn't stop thinking it. September 11, 2001 changed people. September 12, 2001 is when changed people went out and changed the world and said, we're not afraid. We're not going to take it. This isn't going to break us. We're going to mourn and grieve, and we're going to get to work. September 11th, 2001 changed people. September 12th, 2001 is when changed people changed the world. And that's why whenever I'm having a bad day, whenever I'm having a down day, I think today is September 12th, 2001. Treat today like it's September 12th, 2001, and you cannot go wrong there. That is a good place to start. And maybe share that with somebody who might need to hear it. And who knows, maybe there's hope for us after all. So that's my weekend there. Little update for you guys. Harry Lime Pie says, got my stew booked today. Nice. Nuggets posted a video on September 11th, which had gathered all footage of 9/11 and put it in order. Good for you. John says, one of the NCOs in my platoon said he watched those planes hit the towers right from his classroom in New York City. Yeah, just like December 8th, 1941, Harry Lime Pie says, yes, you know, the day after tragedy is where you find incredible examples of humanity. It's the moments after great tragedies happen, the moments after, you know, even in our personal lives, something happens to somebody that we care about. It's the moment after these bad things happen that you really see people band together and show you what they're made of. It's something special. It really is. Let's get into today's episode. Let's get into the Scuttlebutt Show because I've got stuff for you guys today that is going to rock your socks right off your feet. Starting with this first story from today, you had to do it, I guess. You had to do it. They are now offering a $40,000 reward to find Fat Leonard. Fat Leonard, Leonard Glenn Francis, the man who corrupted the United States Navy, made admirals just doing the worst kind of things out there in the world for in exchange. He would show them a good time and they would pay him in hush money or you know, bribes or whatever it is, bribes back and forth. in a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours corruption case that has rocked the United States Navy for the last 20 years. He decided he would just pick up and take off and not finish his trial because that's the kind of dude that he is. And now they're offering $40,000 for any information leading to his arrest. And that's just $40,000 more that the government's going to waste on this guy on top of the millions, hundreds of millions that have already been wasted. What an absolute psychopath this guy is. Leonard Glenn Francis. You can go listen to more about him on an Apple Podcasts. He is he has impacted the Navy in such a huge and he has such a huge way that will have lasting consequences for the rest of the future of the United States Navy. I hope they learn some kind of lesson from that and put some kind of better practices in place to prevent this kind of thing from happening again, where the Navy overspent like over $100 million, I believe, in fraudulent funds so that they could party it up in Singapore. And finding out that my ship was part of that when we were in Singapore, some of that stuff was going on, just really sad and kind of and totally shocking and absolutely ridiculous. So just wanted to give you guys an update that Fat Leonard is still on the loose. So check your local strip club and liquor store, because he'll probably be out there just making it rain while the feds try to find him. If you guys see Fat Leonard out there, drop it in the comments. Fat Leonard, it sounds like a joke, right? It sounds like a cartoon character, like a bad guy in Batman or whatever. Batman. That's Batman. Batman wouldn't say Batman. He'd say, I'm Batman. I'm looking for Fat Leonard. Have you seen Fat Leonard? That's my best Batman. Anyway, I'm embarrassing myself over here doing voices. That's not really my thing. I'm not great at voices. I shouldn't be doing them. Good show today. I'm just pumped. I'm just pumped because we got a good show today. I was kind of tired earlier, but I'm bounced back. I'm feeling 100% healthy and strong. I was feeling bad on Friday, but I'm feeling 100% better now. And starting this week off with an absolute bang with the stories that we have today. This next one is just a sad, sad tale from the Navy. A sad tale from the Navy. It's a tale as old as time, but that doesn't make it sting any less for the people and families involved. Here we go. Judge rejects heat of passion claims. Why are you making a heat of passion claim? Well, a Virginia Beach sailor has been charged with killing his wife's lover. Reminds me of the old meme from Duffel Blog, TRICARE finally recognizes your wife's boyfriend as a dependent. And it's just, the reason that headline is so funny is it's funny because it's true. And it's not funny because it's true at the same time. But here we've got a tragic outcome in a case of infidelity that runs rampant in the Navy, so much so in the military in general, that they even gave a name for the other person involved, which is your classic Jody. So this sailor encountered a Jody and said, no, no, no-y, and took action in his own hands, if you will, unfortunately, because it did not end well for anybody. A Navy sailor charged with killing his wife's lover after catching them having sex will stand trial on murder charges after a judge rejected his claims of killing the man in the heat of passion. The judge, Sandra Minago, certified charges of second-degree murder, illegal use of a gun, and maliciously firing into an occupied building against Tyler Jenkins. Tyler Jenkins. Defense attorney Brandon Fellers argued the shooting was in the heat of the passion and Jenkins should not be charged with anything more than involuntary manslaughter. But they didn't see it that way. So that happened on March 11th at the couple's house. Jenkins, his wife is a 25-year-old and was the only person to testify during the hearing and spoke without emotion. The Virginian Pilot is not naming her, which is the newspaper, or by the way, there's no Virginia Pilot, that's the name of the newspaper, because she's the alleged victim of domestic violence. The wife, also in the Navy and assigned to the USS George Bush, testified she and Jenkins were married in April 2021. So they didn't even make it a year until she was caught, you know, red-handed, if you will, in bed with another man, sending Tyler over the edge. The marriage was over within 3 months, the wife said, but they continued to live together in a two-bedroom apartment and slept in different rooms. She also said they had talked to a lawyer, agreed to see other people, and that her husband knew she was engaging in other relationships. But, you know, you got to know that that's going to cause, you know, a little friction in your household. Now Tyler had filed adultery complaints with her command, because in the military, if you're married, you're not allowed to have extramarital affairs. It's actually against the UCMJ. It gets much into a gray area when you are going through a separation or a divorce. Typically, people tend to look the other way unless it becomes a factor related to other charges, like you are you're not coming to work, right? You're AWOL. And so they go, in addition, aren't you married and you're out running around with other people or something like that? And then you get caught up in that kind of thing. So the details here, on the day of the shooting, the wife had just returned after being away for 24 days on Navy duty. When she arrived, Jenkins was there to pick her up with a bouquet of flowers. Yikes. The wife said she was not interested in resuming their relationship and went out that evening with friends, heading first to Hooters and then Mink's Gentleman's Club. The wife? The wife's a party animal. Afterwards, she and one of the men in the group, Tim Talley III, also assigned to the Bush, went back to her apartment. So Tim Talley, who sounds like a character you would encounter in Lord of the Rings, Tim Talley III, here to cause some trouble. The wife said she and Talley, who was 28, so 3 years older than her, were getting it on in the bedroom when Jenkins burst in with a gun and began firing. Just, this whole story is sad and shocking, but also funny and comic and almost like a cartoonish in a way. So Talley had put his hands up and asking Jenkins to chill when he was shot. So, you know, it's an awkward spot you put yourself in. You go home with a married woman back to the home that she shares with her husband. She claims estranged. Who knows? That could be true or not true or whatever. And you're in there and you're caught, you know, pants down, telling this lady's husband to chill. Not a good look. Not the way you want to be going out, for sure. The assistant attorney, Kari Kolar, argued that Jenkins had already been put on notice months before that his wife was seeing other men, and it should have been no surprise that she would be intimate with one. The fact Jenkins came into the room with a gun in his hand indicated he was prepared to catch her in the act. The judge agreed, and the case will now be sent to grand jury for consideration. Look, you know, I'm not defending this guy by any stretch of the imagination. I think he should get, you know, murder charges if he's, you know, guilty of this and all that. But if you're the wife, you're living with your legal husband and you're getting it on in the house with another dude and you're not expecting that to cause some, you know, conflict, then you're very dumb. You are so dumb for real. You are dumb, 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 diddy, dumb, dumb, like South Park says. Just exercise a little bit of, you know, common sense, self-restraint, caution. Don't, you know, poke the bear, so to speak. If you're in a complicated domestic situation, try to separate, put space between you and your ex. That's the best thing to do instead of this antagonistic. That's what it is. That kind of behavior is antagonistic. And you end up with a total tragedy. Three lives ruined, really. Like, that girl will never be, you know, she'll always be affected by this. One person's dead and one person's going to end up in prison. So three lives ruined for what? A moment of fun in the bedroom. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments section. That should be a good one. That should get the comments flowing. Rile everybody up. Oh, man. 1 gram of Sam in the chat. Great to see you out there in the chat. In the chat's where I like to see everybody. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, consider joining the live stream, 1500 Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday. You can come join me and have a conversation because that's what it's all about. This next one, I'm going to get to this next story really quick because, and then we got a crazy one. Then we're going to do some, you know, scuttlebutt clown of the day coming up. This next one is, it's not even military. I just wanted to talk about it because, you know, things are getting so horrible out there in the world. Everywhere I turn, people are talking about fentanyl, and they should be, because the fact of the matter is people are dying at record rates everywhere from fentanyl. And then you get something like this, which should send chills down the spine of even the most heartless of Grinches. Drug dealers targeting children with candy-colored fentanyl pills. So they have sweet tart-looking fentanyl pills that drug dealers are trying to slip to your kids. Even one is fatal. Fentanyl is one of the deadliest drugs on the street, and now it's also pretty. This is sick stuff. Drug traffickers are making rainbow-colored fentanyl that in pill form resembles candy like sweet tarts and in block forms looks like sidewalk chalk. Oh my God. Federal officials say the candy-colored fentanyl is a deliberate attempt to market the drug to children and young adults. The men and women of the DEA are relentlessly working to stop the trafficking of rainbow fentanyl and defeat the Mexican drug cartels that are responsible for the vast majority of the fentanyl that is being trafficked in the United States. That's coming from DEA Administrator Ann Milgram. The drug has been seized in Northern California, Oregon, and Arizona. So obviously it's coming over the southern border from probably southwestern United States. If they're trying to put that out to kids, they're trying to kill kids, said the LA County Sheriff Howard Fuchs, who works in the Narcotics Bureau. All it takes is one pill and it will likely lead to death. Fentanyl pills previously were colored blue and often stamped with M on one side and 30 on the other to appear to be oxycodone. So they've always been disguising them. That's why so many people are overdosing, because they're buying what they think is one drug and they're taking a fatal dose of fentanyl. But now authorities suspect that dyeing fentanyl pills pink, purple, yellow, and blue is an attempt to make the drug more alluring or less threatening to kids, and some experts don't buy it. That's insane. Somebody says here, at this point, what the colors mean is really just speculation. The narrative that it's meant specifically to appeal to children, I do think, is unsupported, said Claire Zagorski, coordinator at the Pharmacy Addiction Research and Medicine Program at University of Texas in Austin. That person sounds like an idiot to me. If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and walks like a duck, it's a duck. Why do you think that the United States banned all those cotton candy-flavored Juul stuff? Because they were for kids. It doesn't take a genius. God, you have to be a really sick person to be like, let's slow down getting upset about the fentanyl for kids. Let's not get too upset about that. Oh my God. Zagorski said children don't have much disposable income and generally don't have jobs. Yeah, but there's hundreds of thousands of these pills everywhere on the streets and people are getting their hands on them very easily. Oh my God. Zagorski also noted that many illicit substances have been made pretty, such as MDMA and LSD. Yeah, but why do they do that? To appeal to kids. What do you think a kid is? What's a kid? A 4-year-old? No, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 17-year-old, 20-year-old. People go to a concert. Imagine somebody goes to a concert, somebody hands them one of these. They're going to take that. I'm going to go 9 times out of 10. So please, please, please be careful out there, especially with what your kids might be getting their hands on in school. It says the synthetic opioid fentanyl is 50 times more potent than heroin, 100 times more potent than morphine, and 2 milligrams, which is 10 to 15 grains of salt, can kill. Oh my God. It is no joke. It's no joke. It's manufactured overseas and brought in through the border illegally and given out to people to get them addicted to drugs. Fentanyl illegally sold in the United States is primarily supplied by 2 criminal drug networks, the Sinaloa Cartel and the Jalisco New Generation Cartel in Mexico. Matt Capiluto of Riverside, California, whose 20-year-old daughter, Alexandra, died after unknowingly taking half of a fentanyl pill, said that she thought it was oxy and the rainbow version is scary. 20-year-old daughter. Your 20-year-old daughter goes out there, thinks she's taking oxy, which is still bad. No kid should be getting addicted to these opioids. But unfortunately, so many are. And then it ends up being a whole thing of fentanyl, and they pass away. They're specifically intending to appeal to young people, said Capiluto, who heads the website druginducedhomicide.org. The website encourages prosecutors to file murder charges against dealers and drug deaths. We all were kids. We all loved candy. It's an easy target, said Capiluto. Amy Novell, another person here, whose 14-year-old son Alexander died after ingesting fentanyl that he thought was oxy, said illicit drug makers are simply rebranding their product. Everybody knows the blue M30s are dangerous, so they just changed the color. That makes total sense to me. They are prettier and nicer to the eye, so it means more people will fall for the trick. She said kids actually believe that drug dealers are their friends, so they might fall for the rainbow ruse. Terrifying, absolutely terrifying, Novell said. If you think that blue is bad, then pink is good, right, or yellow. So, yeah, that totally makes sense to me, and they could easily do studies. They could put these things out and see if kids go for them or are willing to take them, or mix them in with a bag of candy and see if anybody ends up eating them. You could make some placebo ones and do a test. Why would anybody not proceed down the most, excess of caution? An abundance of caution is what you would say. Assess the risk. What is the likelihood, and what is the harm done? It's very likely and it's very harmful. That's like a Category 4 risk. That's the highest, or Category 1, whatever's the highest category risk. Very likely, very harmful. It's the worst risk you can have on the risk code matrix. So the risk assessment matrix. So you have to take that kind of stuff seriously. Why would anybody not? Why would anybody try to talk this down? It makes no sense to me. It's really sick. So let me know what you guys think about that in the comments section. I saw that and I just, I saw this article and I just wanted to put it out there for anybody who might be hearing it, because now they're putting out these things that like whole pills of fentanyl, completely fatal doses that look like candy. So why would you do that? That's pretty bad. Kitty says, that's pretty fudged up, and it's great to see you in the chat. John says, my parents always inspected my candy for needles after we finished trick-or-treating. That's a great point. That stuff's starting to come across the border just in time for Halloween. Ding dong. Trouble's at the door. Just made that up. So, you know, anybody who would discount that and try to say that that's not something that needs to be worried about or taken seriously is a sicko. A real sick person who should be immediately fired from their job. They should lose everything. Their family should abandon them. You name it. That's exactly what should happen. Anybody who says, hey, relax, it's just giant fentanyl pills that your kids are going to take, should be not allowed to hold any sort of position of authority over anything ever again in history. That's my two cents on it. I'll turn it around for you guys. I'm going to brighten it up. I'm going to bring you guys a headline that just doesn't need to be. I'm going to bring you guys a story that just didn't need to exist in the first place. I feel like I'm living in the upside down. I feel like I personally have transitioned into the Twilight Zone. I'm living in a parallel universe. It's the opposite of ours. Everything is exactly the opposite of what it should be. Exactly the opposite. So now we have stories like this. This is a serious story. A real serious story here. Lack of training and maintenance likely led to the Taliban pilot crashing the Black Hawk. Am I living in the Twilight Zone? This is a true. This is a real article. A real article says that the investigation that's been done determined by using experts' analysis that because the pilots don't know how to fly helicopters and they didn't do any maintenance on them, the Taliban crashed their Black Hawk. Please help me. Please, please, please help me and tell me that this is not reality, not the real world that we're living in. The Taliban have lost one of their few operational UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters, which they captured last year when the now defunct Afghan Air Force, underscoring the training and maintenance challenges that the Taliban Air Force is contending with. We're calling it the Taliban Air Force? The Taliban shouldn't have an Air Force. This is the day after September 11th. They have this serious article on Task and Purpose about the Taliban Air Force. I'm reading this article published today. The day after September 11th, we have an article about the Taliban Air Force. And we have a video. So we're going to watch the video of that helicopter crashing, and at least that will bring us some joy. All right. So, you know, I got to tell you guys, this video is what makes these guys the scuttlebutt clowns of the day. In a story that just doesn't need to exist, we have the Taliban crashing their Black Hawk. That's a true headline. The Taliban Air Force crashed their Black Hawk. Let's watch it. Let's just watch the video again. It's going, starting to, you know, it looks like it loses tail rotor control, or they just can't control their yaw. Probably because the pilots don't know how to fly helicopters because they have no training. This is posted on September 11th. The Taliban Air Force, is this the Twilight Zone? Crashes their Black Hawk. Mshallah. You know, it's just the dumbest thing you can possibly imagine. I'm laughing at this article, but at the same time, it is kind of sad that this has to be a real thing. Lack of training and maintenance, because they're not trained to fly, and no maintenance is being done to these very complicated helicopters, so they crashed one. Number one article of all time that didn't have to be written. The cause of the Taliban Air Force crashing a helicopter. I can't. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments section down below. I know you will. I know you won't let me down. Just the best article. Just the best. You're the best. around. Nothing's going to ever keep you down except for the helicopter. That will, in fact, keep you down because you're going to crash it because you're the Taliban and you can't have helicopters that are made for the United States Army that we gave to the Afghani Air Force, who gave to the now, the defunct Afghan Air Force now gave all their helicopters to the Taliban Air Force. Soon, we'll be doing cross-training with the... Soon, the United States is going to order the Air Force to go train the Taliban Air Force to battle Taliban 2.0, whatever it is. Nothing would surprise me at this point. There's nothing that you could do. Nothing could happen that would surprise me. I'm just waiting for the UFOs to be announced. I'm waiting for us to learn that aliens have been running the show for a while now, and maybe that's why things are so jacked up. You know, I'll tell you guys a funny little anecdote here from the weekend. I was at the book signing at Barnes & Noble's in Oceanside yesterday, and this lady came up to me and said, "Hey, I watch your podcast. I listen to your podcast." And I said, "That's awesome. Thank you." She goes, "Yeah, and I was in the Army, so that's saying something." And I was like, "Oh, you do listen. You do listen, because if you are an Army veteran and you listen to the Scuttlebutt show, you must really, I guess, you know, like hearing the stories that I tell, because I say a lot, the Army. And nothing's different today, folks. We have a fun one here. It is out of the Army. It is nothing bad. And it's nothing that great either. It's just something interesting, and it had me laughing. Army National Guard launches free childcare for soldiers during drill weekends. So now when you call up your first sergeant and say, "Hey, I can't come into drill weekend this weekend. I got my kid." And they go, "Hey, you know, we have childcare now." And I'll be, "Oh, really? Oh, that's great. Oh, but you know what? Shoot, I have other stuff going on. I'm dead. I died. So I actually can't be there because I'm dead. So, you know, take care of my kids. I'm a ghost. Hang up." So that's where we're at now. Your last bastion of excusedom has been eliminated by the National Guard, who now has childcare. It says the National Guard launched a $3.6 million program that's in the pilot stage of their program this month that provides free childcare to eligible Guard soldiers in 6 states during drill weekends to help retain single parents in the service. I did hear that childcare was expensive, but I didn't know it would cost $3.6 million to poorly watch your kids and give them poison water. That I did not know. "It's a challenge," said Major General Eric Little. Oh, the little guys in charge of the little guys. The Guard's Director of Manpower and Personnel said Friday during a call with reporters, "This has been a constant concern for the families over the past several years." The Bureau chose to test the program in the following states: Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Mexico, Ohio, Virginia, and Washington, which sounds to me like they just picked states out of a hat. Those already met a statewide licensing program to ensure that safety requirements are met. Yeah, right. I doubt it. Highly doubt it. Scuttlebutt shot call right here. I highly doubt safety requirements are met for anything that the Army's doing. Just going to throw that out there. The idea came as if somebody had to have this idea. Here's the best part of this article. The idea came from service-wide surveys. Like, nobody in charge could have had possibly had this idea. Nobody in charge, no commanding officer, no general, no governor could have been like, "Hey, what about childcare?" Nobody, no, you know, PFC just, you know, scoop booting around said, "Man, sure would be nice if I had somewhere to put my kids during drill weekend." The idea came from service-wide surveys. Yeah, okay. Parents using the new program have no out-of-pocket costs for childcare, and all the funding is coming from appropriated federal dollars, not state funding. So that's cool. It's cool that they're doing it, you know, no cost for the parents. 35% of Army National Guard troops, or roughly 118,000 soldiers, have kids, and 9% are single parents. That makes 36,000 kids younger than 12. That's a lot. To use the child care, soldiers must be in good standing with their unit and affirm that no other adult within the household is available to provide care. Children going to care must be registered with the military as a dependent, so they have to be in DEERS and be between 6 weeks and 12 years old. 6 weeks. Damn, child care can take 6-week-olds? Wow. We expect that during September drill, soldiers will largely get educated about the existence of the pilot and a process by which they can apply from their commanders. As the word spreads, they anticipate applications will increase. So there you go. If you're National Guard, you now have to go to drill weekend. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Doesn't matter if you have 2, 3, or 23 kids. You're going. You're going. Sign up for that childcare and excuses be damned. Go there and just do nothing anyway and go to the doctor and complain about your ankle. I mean, I know it's what these National Guard folks are doing anyway when they're not actually responding to an emergency. When it's just drill weekend, come on. I've seen you guys out there. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments. The little guy in charge of the little guys. Sam says, that's nice of them. Yeah, it is. It is. All right. We'll get to something serious. We'll get to the real deal. We'll have a serious conversation. He's in a Harry Lion Pie about the Taliban helicopter says he's in a flat spin going out to sea. John Franco says tail rotor failure. It's game over when that happens. Yeah, tail rotor failure or just, you know, pilot error. You know, I don't know. It looked like tail rotor failure, but it could be something else too. Because if you try to fly a helicopter and you just don't know how, take it from me and my experience in the simulator, it's not going to end well for you. You need, you know, many hours training to be able to fly a helicopter. Let's get down to business, as the song says. End of Navy SEALs as we know it, this report asks. Navy to investigate famous SEAL buds course, says report. We're going to talk about this article. I'm going to talk about my personal experiences working around buds and what I have heard and seen for myself, and we'll get to the bottom of it. The U.S. Navy has ordered a high-level investigation of the basic underwater demolition SEAL course, according to a new report on Friday. Such a high-level investigation into major SEAL components, BUDS being the basic underwater demolition school for SEAL selection and basic training, part of the BCT, the Basic Training Command, before they go on to the SQT SEAL qualification training. So they go there, they earn their opportunity to really try out for their trident. And now, because of recent deaths, they're going to see if that whole thing needs to be overhauled. The Vice Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral William Lesher, ordered the investigation in a letter obtained and reported by the New York Times. Lesher ordered a rear admiral from outside the SEAL leadership to conduct the investigation, which I know that the SEAL commanders over there will not like. Those investigating the BUDS course to report back with their findings within 30 days. So I'll tell you a couple things. BUDS instructors are very, very, very highly screened and trained. They take that course extremely seriously. Every event is planned meticulously down to the moment. They know what they're doing over there. They've done hundreds of these courses and put through thousands of sailors. People die in training in every job in the military. But when you're so high profile, when you are so under the microscope and so publicly, so much public attention on you, the government's not just going to ignore the problem. They're going to do something to save their own face. According to the New York Times, the Navy has grown concerned that the SEAL community has placed too much emphasis on forced suffering while incentivizing recruits to ignore potentially serious illnesses and injuries. The New York Times reported that there is a growing subculture among BUDS candidates of using performance-enhancing drugs to get through the rigorous 24-week course that serves as the first part of the process to become a SEAL. Now, do people use performance-enhancing drugs? Sure. But does the schoolhouse, somehow encourage them to or anything like that? No. I've never seen that. In fact, you can't even have workout supplements. Even if you have, if they catch you with creatine, they'll kick you out of BUDS. You can't have anything. So they are very strict about that stuff. The rules are very strict. And hey, if you want to cheat, if that's who you are and you're going to cheat, then you should accept the risk of cheating, including getting kicked out of training, getting kicked out of the Navy, facing NJP or court martial, and putting your health at risk. Just like if you do any drugs, you put your health at risk. I don't understand why they would put the onus on the school when the school already has clear processes and policies and SOPs in place regarding that kind of stuff. Anyway, Lesher's letter ordering the investigation calls on investigators to look into the course's safety measures, the qualifications of instructors and medical personnel, and its drug testing policies for students. BUDS has a long-standing reputation as a grueling training course in the past, and the SEAL community has welcomed the difficulty as a rite of passage before candidates may go on to serve in some of the most high-risk combat missions. There is, I have heard conversations about reducing what they call unintended losses, which is, let's say you have a great guy, like a great student who is by all measures would be an awesome team guy. Like every, you know, criteria indicator says that this guy would be a welcome member of Naval Special Warfare. But because instructors put them through some crazy training or something overly dangerous, they get a log dropped on their head, they fall off the O course, something like that, because the instructors take it too far, because the training might be just unnecessarily dangerous at times, well, you lose that guy to a broken leg. So they want to weed out the right people, but they want to keep the right people too. And so if you have training that's going to get people, this is what I've heard from SEALs at BTC when I went through the instructor course. I'm forwarding on good information here. When you have somebody who should make it, you should ensure that person, while they're tracking towards completing training, doesn't end up with a broken bone or some kind of like kidney failure or something like that, or drowning, when really there was no need for that. This person, that training didn't have to go to that level. You washed out or injured a good candidate. That's not what they want. You want to get rid of the people who don't want to be there, the people who had no idea what they were getting themselves into. You got to get all those people out, and you got to retain the good people. That's the ultimate goal. Are there unintended losses? Yeah, because you have combat-related losses that are from accidents. You have training losses that are from mishaps. There's all kinds of stuff like that. You can't predict everything. Stuff's going to happen. Injuries are going to happen. Platoons go out on pre-deployment training and they get injuries left, right, center. And it's just, you know, you accept the risk. You do your operational risk management and you accept some amount of risk. And the process should be to not lose people unnecessarily. You should mitigate that risk down to the lowest level possible. That's it. But the case that really sparked all of this was Kyle Mullen, who finished Hell Week in February. And we've been kind of talking about that ever since then. He had acute pneumonia. He finished Hell Week, but then sent back to his room to just, you know, after the final checkup, ended up being taken to the hospital later and dying. But they had reported if he had been taken to the hospital immediately, he had a good chance of survival. And that's sad. There's nothing to say about that. That is a sad outcome. And you want to avoid that at all costs. And this person was really sick, and maybe medical should have, you know, med rolled them sooner, but I bet that person wouldn't have wanted to. I bet that student, he obviously wanted to be there. You don't stick around, endure that much pain unless you really want to be there. So, you know, it's a tragedy all around. It's not necessarily malicious, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. It says here, a candidate who was with Mullen during BUD said Mullen fell behind on runs and instructor singled him out for remediation, which meant extra push-ups, sit-ups, and plunges into the surf that all likely worsened his condition. Mullen's fellow BUDS candidates told the New York Times he collapsed at one point and an instructor repeatedly kicked him and told him to quit. Is that possible? It is possible. That's definitely, you know, not what instructors are supposed to do. At one point, Mullen spoke on the phone with his mother and she could tell he was in poor health. His mom said, go to the hospital. He said, no, Ma, if you want to go to the hospital, it'll make you first quit. Besides, it's just, SIPI or swimming-induced pulmonary edema is what he was probably told. They probably said, hey, it's probably SIPI. It's probably nothing, something like that. So Mullen reportedly began secretly taking Viagra because he got told that by another BUDS candidate. Viagra does help with a bunch of pulmonary issues. And like if you go on high mountain climbing trips and stuff like that, Viagra can be helpful. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to go further into it, but I know it has other uses other than, you know, in the bedroom. And so, you know, in this training, there are definitely cases of instructor abusing students. That's for sure true. There is, students have died in BUDS training before. Students have died in, you know, shoot houses, and even platoons have had people shoot each other and shoot in kill houses and stuff like that. I'll tell you one other story that I've heard, which is one of the commanders for BUDS came in and prevented any training. He put a kibosh to any training occurring before the students had breakfast. So the instructors were not allowed to do anything, no PT, no nothing to the students until they've had breakfast, to prevent, you know, malnourishment related injuries or students passing out from low blood sugar or something like that. So they try to do things. There's like every commanding officer has a different tolerance for risk on this level and what the training will really look like. But there are teams of people in there. There are teams of people watching every class, all this stuff. Cadre, instructors, doctors, physical therapists, all this stuff over there. It's a robust program. And they try to mitigate risk down to the lowest level. There's a lot of questions here. Are students doping to get through training? Is training impossible? Is training impossible? Must you cheat to get through it? I think that's a question that, it, you know, I would say the answer is no. Not that you must dope to get through it, or you must cheat to get through it with performance enhancing drugs. Do people do it? Well, yeah. And then those people shouldn't make it through because they are now not who they claim to be. They're like a fake version of themselves. So if they ever get off drugs, they'll become worse operators, and then they become dependent on drugs, which also makes them worse operators. So it's kind of like a self-serving problem there. What will come of this? I don't know. Time will tell. Let me know what you think in the comment section. It's a dangerous job. It's dangerous training. And you're going to take some casualties in anything in the military that's dangerous. Aviation, infantry. Look at the number of deaths from Humvee rollovers. Even static line jumps and free fall training, all that stuff. It's all very dangerous. So there's some amount of risk that must be accepted and endured to get through this stuff. This Kyle Mullen case has upended the Navy. Now outside people are coming in to investigate the schoolhouse there. What will happen? Time will tell. We will see. And I will keep you guys up to date on the Scuttlebutt Show. Let me know what you think about that in the comment section. Curious. Quite curious, I must say. 1 gram of Sam. We've always done a risk assessment matrix for every training exercise, but it is never foolproof. Yeah, absolutely. Nuggets. Truth is hard to maintain that perfect balance of a test to pressure to success. RM risk matrix is only as good as the people conducting it, Pro Hero says. That's true too. That's true. Everything is only as good as the people conducting it. All right, guys, we got to keep it moving if we're going to get through today's episode. Plus, it's like 100 degrees in my room. I'm sweating. I don't know if you guys can see that on the camera. If you're listening on the podcast, just know I'm sweating. So this one gets my goat. This one, I'm going to wrap it up with something good. But this one really gets me, you guys. HOA demands veteran remove flagpole with U.S. and Army flags. I hate hearing this. A U.S. Army veteran in Huntsville, Alabama, home of Space Camp, is battling with his local homeowners association over whether his American and U.S. Army flags can continue to fly outside his home. We have a video. Let's watch the video and see what this is all about here. Darn it, I hate these stories.
New and only on Wave 31, as we begin the Labor Day holiday weekend honoring the American worker, one family is being asked to remove the most patriotic symbol of all, our country's flag. Wave 31's Nicole Zedek joins us live with the family's struggle to fly their flag and why their HOA is telling them to take it down.
Nicole, these flags have been patriotically waving here at the Lake Forest community since back in July when the Hudnell family installed this flagpole in front of their house. But now, more than a month later, the HOA is telling them to take it down or risk paying a fine. Now, according to the Lake Forest HOA, they have a section written in their covenants and restrictions that states no flagpoles other than ones mounted on a house and shorter than 4 feet can be placed in the community without prior written consent from the HOA. Now, the Hudnells tell me they tried contacting the HOA to ask for permission before installing this flag. They never sent a written form, but they did call 3 times a day on July 15th, 17th, and 18th, but no one from the office picked up the phone, even after the family says they left multiple messages. With no response, they decided to install the flagpole, and then, more than a month later, they finally had contact from the HOA.
No one from HOA contacted us until yesterday. We received a letter in the mail stating that we had violated the HOA and that we needed to take the flagpole down. In order for me to do that, I would have to crack concrete, destroy everything that my kids and I did and my husband and I did, and watch this flag come down.
Dr. Jill Hudnell doesn't understand how it could take this long to hear back from the HOA. She says if they had her address, they should have contacted her back in July, telling her to fill out a written form and how to correctly go about the process. To the Hudnells, this is more than just a neighborhood fight about how they want their house to look. This is about showing their patriotism and displaying their pride in American values, something their entire family has fought to protect. All more on their military background and why they're willing to put up a fight in order to display their patriotism. That's all tonight on Way 31 News at 10. Reporting live in Huntsville, Nicole Zedek, Way 31 News.
We'll see you then, Nicole. Thanks. In a statement, Lake Forest HOA told Way 31 it's not allowed to discuss individual homeowners' matters. But they did tell us homeowners must submit a written request before adding structures to the yard. And the HOA has 30 days to review the request.
HOAs are the saddest organizations in the United States. HOAs are people who are so sad and lonely that the only joy they get in their lives is from attacking their neighbors and just being a problematic neighbor. That's it. That's the only place that they find joy in their lives is from bullying. It is a complete, it's a complete disgrace. And Dr. Jill Hudnall, not exactly a hooligan, not exactly, you know, the riffraff, if you will, keep up the good fight. Keep up the good fight. In addition to marrying a veteran, Jill Hudnall comes from a military family. Her father is a Marine veteran who lost a leg in the Vietnam War. After returning home, her father did everything he could and is now an aeronautical engineer and the inventor of the recoverable rocket booster for the space shuttle. And she can't fly an American flag in her front yard. She says, this flag means a lot. Not only do we have Old Glory hanging from that flagpole, but we also have the Army flag because it's a representation of my husband. What sad losers. And by the way, my last video about the HOA got banned for me calling the HOA sad losers, but I won't stop. I can't stop and I won't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. The HOA people are just sad losers. Don't be that person. If you're an HOA member, don't be that person. Just do the right thing and walk out the door of your house without having to have a giant problem every day. When the HOA reached out demanding the Hudnalls immediately remove their flag, Jill Hudnall said their immediate response was no, which is dope. This is going to stay right where it's at because my family is military, and this is a representation of how I feel about their service. And when do they do this? Of course, Labor Day weekend, a federal holiday. She says, those two flags will stay up there. Old Glory is still waving this morning. Oh, I just got the chills. I got the chills. Old Glory is still waving this morning. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Keep up the good fight, and if there's anything the Scuttlebutt Show can do for you, we are here for you in full support. In full support of that family. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below. I really want to know. I got to know. I want to know. Oh my gosh. Alan says it must be ran by the Kremlin. I love that. Defund the HOA, Kitty says. Seriously. Except for, like, keep the pool nice, though. I can't imagine spending a ton of money to own a house only to be told what I can and can't do. Yeah. Yeah. Eviana says, hey, HOA, here's four American flags for you. Hell yeah. I love it. I love it. Nuggets is reading Bywater Beneath the Walls, learning about the history of Navy SEAL training, and it is a vast history. All right, guys, I got one more thing for you. I got one more thing for you today. And, hey, why waste a split second here on the Scuttlebutt Show? Let's get into it. How a veteran Navy corpsman wrote and produced a TV show about transition. We're going to watch and react to the trailer, and I'm going to tell you my thoughts on this show. When Tim Kirkpatrick left the Navy in 2012, he went to film school. He learned how to write and produce for TV and movies. He always wanted to make his own project, though, so he started Condition One Media, creating Figure It Out, a show, they call it a show, about transitioning from the military just 10 years after leaving the Navy himself. He premiered it at Warner Brothers Studio in Los Angeles, and now it's available to watch on Amazon Prime for $3.99 to buy or $1.99 to rent. More on that in a minute. He joined the Navy in 2007. He became a hospital corpsman, and he ended up in Helmand Province, Afghanistan in 2010, where there was some really serious bloody fighting. He was a doc for Marines during the Battle of Sengen, in what would be remembered as the bloodiest deadliest ground battle of the war in Afghanistan. He spent months treating the wounded in combat, was even injured himself. He went back to the line when he recovered, and it came time to get out of the military in 2012. When his contract was up, he got out. He says he's very proud of his service in Sengen, but when I got back, I started applying to film school because the medical route just didn't appeal to me anymore. A lot, that's, you know, very true. People need a change of pace. So he started going through veterans organizations, going to school, getting gigs in the entertainment industry. And, you know, he had these issues with transition that he wanted to bring out and let people know about, as well as other things that he heard from other veterans as they transitioned. So he says here, you never stop transitioning in life. Months and months grow into years. He pitched his idea to different people. Some people don't care much, and some people add their thoughts to it, and the idea grows and grows. He had trusted advisors that recommended some improvements here and there. He got thousands of no's and a couple yeses. So he starts making this show. He gets some money together. He produces it, and it is now available to watch. We're going to react to the trailer, and I'm going to give you my review because I've actually already seen it. I watched earlier today. So let's react to the trailer, and then we'll talk about the quality of this show.
Let the show.
There's no easy way to put this.
Commence.
But the Marine Corps has decided to let you go.
That's what I'm talking about, Tink.
It's going to be okay.
What are you going to do now?
This is all going to be okay.
It's an ends to a mean.
You mean a means to an end.
Can I have a place to stay?
Oh, you're into that now.
Yeah, we should totally catch up sometime.
Did you get kicked out? There.
From the strip club, huh?
Do you really need anyone else?
Piss them off. They don't care about you.
And you believe that?
TikTok!
You're a genius! This is amazing!
All right, so that's available on Amazon Prime right now. You can go watch it. It's called Figure It Out. But before you do, let me give you my my review. Here's the website. The website is conditiononemedia.com. Here's the bluff, bottom line up front. I've seen this show. It's 33 minutes long. It should be called a movie. It's a short film is what it is, because there's not multiple episodes. So I would really hesitate to call this a show. It's really like a one-off thing. And if it was a series with multiple episodes, you know, maybe go out there, you know, support the veteran, purchase it. I bought it on Amazon for $3.99 because we support vets on this show, but I cannot recommend it. All right. I cannot recommend it. I cannot recommend people spend their money on this, which might be shocking to hear. And I'm going to explain to you kind of why. It's 30 minutes long. I watched it. Here's some initial thoughts. First of all, congratulations to Tim. Making anything is an accomplishment. It's a feat to schedule a shoot, find the actors. These are actors. Only one person in the cast is a veteran. I wish everyone was a veteran. According to the cast bios, only one person is a veteran, if you don't count Tim, who has a little part in it. So I wish that all the actors had been veterans. But to get it together, to get the gear, to write the script, to find the locations, all that stuff, you know, good job. Every piece of, you know, visual content, video content is a gift, I think. And if this was free, I would tell everyone to go out there and watch it and show your support. But this is not quality enough or complete enough to charge money for. I don't think so. It's a spec. It's what you would call a spec trailer, basically. Like, in other words, this is what he would make if he had the green light and the funding to go make a show. This is an example of what it could be if he had the capability to really make it. It's not ready to be seen. The quality is not, you know, I wouldn't sell this to somebody. I wouldn't charge people for this if it was me. It's kind of home video quality, I would say. Even though he put a lot of work into it, it's certainly not like TV show quality or movie quality, like the Chewbacca mask in Step Brothers. You know, his is not movie quality. It's not also relatable. I found it completely unrelatable. It seemed like every opportunity that they had to talk about something from the military, they went with a dick joke instead. Some real lowbrow, you know, bottom of the barrel, easy way out remark, comment, joke. There's even a scene that borders on sexual assault, and then just they laugh it off and brush by it. Like, it's really kind of wild, to be totally honest with you guys. It's in 33 minutes, I found myself shaking my head, totally disappointed in the lowbrowness of it. If the worst content on Vet TV met, you know, a first-time iPhone, you know, filmmaker, you would end up with this show. the premise of dealing with transition is good, but it goes off the rails from the very beginning. There's no realism. I don't know if it's because of the brevity of it, but it completely, in almost every way, missed the mark for me, from the casting to the dialogue. And I don't regret supporting a Navy veteran in their work, and I can provide this feedback, because it takes talent to create a film project. It takes talent, it takes drive, hard work, organization, dedication, you know, all that. And it appears that he edited it and went and did, you know, got with professionals to put it together. He worked with a team of veterans and they got it done. Okay, so great. It's not something that people should be spending their money on. It should be on YouTube. It should be available. It should be something that you're not showing people, but using as a spec trailer or something like that. If there was 10 episodes of it and it had a complete story with a beginning, middle, and end, then I would even say, give it a shot and support the vet. But it's not ready. If you disagree with me, let me know in the comment section. I'm trying to give helpful feedback. This is what I felt watching it. I do filmmaking as well. I would not charge somebody for that product. Straight up. Congratulations on it and keep going. But this one was not ready. So I cannot recommend that you guys go out there and spend your money on this product. But if you want to follow this veteran, Navy veteran, combat veteran, doc, devil doc filmmaker, I strongly encourage you to do so. I've already reached out to him online. We'll see if he gets back to me. Maybe we'll get him on the Scuttlebutt Show and we can, you know, figure this all out. But as of today, I cannot recommend this as a purchase. If it was on YouTube for free, go right along and check it out. I know that these things cost money to make. I know he probably invested a lot of his own money to do it. I think it's a wash. But as a spec or something like that, keep going. Raise the brow, raise the bar in every way, and you could have something, you know, good on your hands. Get it together a little bit, get a little bit more organized, and the story make a little bit more sense, and, you know, maybe you're onto something. But right now, that ain't it. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments section and if you're going to give this one a shot. All right, guys, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Scuttlebutt Show. Pro Hero says Vet TV puts out awesome stuff. Yeah, Vet TV is much more organized, much more put together, much more professional quality stuff with complete shows that have whole, you know, storylines and everything. The title says it all. Alan says, figure it out. And it's kind of true. Eviana says, I feel like there was no storyboard done first for this. I think that you might be right. I think that that's a very good observation. There's a good chance that you're right. So, folks, that's our Monday out here on the Scuttlebutt Show. I spent the $4 on that film, so you don't have to. I hope that you guys have a great Monday evening. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow on the Scuttlebutt Show because we have a big packed week. It is going to be awesome, just like every other week of the Scuttlebutt Show. I can't wait to bring more cool stuff to you guys. I hope you had a good time with me. I had a great time with you. Until next time, I look forward to talking to you all very soon. And for now, folks, that's the Scuttlebutt.